Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to take up a subject that is very thrilling to me, and I hope that you will share my joy in the subject. We're going to call our study today, The Power of God in Our Lives, for us, in us, and through us to others. We want to take up the study under four headings. We're saved by the power of God. We are energized by the power of God in our inner being. We are kept by the power of God. And we are translated by the power of God. This covers the whole scale of our lives from beginning to end. And from the beginning of the spiritual part of it, at least, because we begin with the power of God in coming into the family of God and becoming saved. There's a wonderful verse, and we've taken it up on this program before, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And here is the verse. For I am not ashamed, Paul is writing to these Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is the power of God. We start with the power of God operating in our lives in the spiritual realm. Now, the word power here is the Greek word dunamis. There are other Greek words that express power, but dunamis is a remarkable word. It means a miraculous power, an explosive power. As a matter of fact, the word dunamis is the Greek is the root word for our root meaning of our word dynamite. It's translated over from the Greek, transliterated, I should say, to the Greek, to the English, in practically the same letters. Dynamite. It is the explosive power of God. Now, let's see why it is the dynamite of God. It is the dynamite of God that blasts away our preconceived ideas. And believe me, our preconceived ideas are hard to separate from us. We have so many preconceived ideas in this matter of salvation. And we think we've got to do something to be saved. There is a rule in the world today, if a thing is worth something, it costs something. And we think of salvation as costing us our efforts. And we must be sincere about it. Well, indeed, I'm not speaking against sincerity, but that sincerity will not save us. The power of God takes away our self-righteousness. It's destroyed by the power of the gospel. We have no self-righteousness. All our righteousness that we read in Isaiah are as filthy rags. That's in the sight of God. All our righteousness are as in filthy rags. If we think anything else, we ought to read the third chapter of Romans to find out where we stand before God. Now, that resistance has to be overcome before we can be saved. And our faith can link us with the power of God that saves us. And that power was manifest at the cross. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross and voluntarily took your place and my place to receive the stroke of judgment that was due to you and me so that God could forgive us. Now I say it, and I say it meaningfully, that without this we could not be saved. The power of God must be operating in our lives for you and for me, and that our faith links us to that power. Now, we cannot be saved by our own efforts. That would make us our Savior, our own Savior. And we have to come to that point in life where we realize there is not a thing I can do except exercise faith. Faith plus nothing brings eternal life to you and to me, because it was all wrought on the cross. Christ died for our sins. They're paid for. This is history. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And it's not of you and me. We are saved by the power of God, overcoming our resistance to the point where we're just willing to give up and let Christ be our Savior, 100% Savior. Now, also, after God saves us, after that faith has given us the peace and the joy that comes with realizing we're going to heaven, not because we deserve it, but because Christ took away that barrier of sin that would keep us out of heaven, and he took it away by his death on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Now, after that, we are energized by the power of God. It's the power of God all the way through our lives. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, these words. The Apostle Paul in verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now, we are strengthened by the Spirit of God the moment that we put our trust in Christ. The moment that we put our trust in him, the Spirit of God comes into our hearts, and he is resident there until we are in the glory. And he keeps us and he saves us. And that is the power of the Christian life. We do not even live the Christian life by our own power. It's by the power of the Spirit of God. So many people, I believe, in this day and age, and probably through all ages, but in this day and age, they feel that they just have to do something to be saved. That they have to have a right attitude. Well, you do have to have a right attitude, and the right attitude is let Christ do it all. But a lot of people are afraid of Christianity. They say, "I could not live up to it." Well, of course we can't live up to it. That's why Christ died, to take away our sins. But then after we're his, and after the Spirit of God dwells in us, that Spirit is our power. Notice, please, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. And incidentally, the word might here, look it up in your best concordance, is dunamis. The same word in Romans 1 and 16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Now that might dwells in you and me to walk the Christian walk. We're not capable of it ourselves. We read in Colossians 1 and 10, for instance, the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians, verses 10 and 11, both verses, here they are, "that we might walk worthy," and this walk here, "worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, under the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Now that is the power of the Spirit of God. God doesn't leave us on our own after he saves us and tells us, "Now, go out and do something for me." He doesn't do that. He energizes us by that indwelling Spirit of God in our lives, in our work, in our witness of the Acts of the Apostles. In the Acts of the Apostles, Christ gave the apostles the commission to preach Christ and witness to him throughout the whole entire world. We read in verse 1 and 8, they must have been overwhelmed by such a commission. We read in Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Think of that, if you will, please. Now we have help to live the Christian life. So we are energized by the power of God in our walk, in our work, in our witness, and even in our worship. Philippians 3:3. The Spirit of God indeed gives us the worship that honors God. Now we are kept by the power of God. Peter writes in his first epistle, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5 of the first epistle, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, we're not kept by our own faithfulness, not by our own prayers. We're kept by the power of God. And that power that Peter uses there is exactly the same word as we find in Romans 1:16. It's the dunamis. It is the explosive power of God. And we're kept by that power to be saved. Now, in John, are kept that power to be saved. Well, that will serve our purpose. Now, in John chapter 10, and verse 27, our Lord is speaking here. We're not getting what John wrote about him. We're getting his words. Here they are. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. All right. Now here we are kept. Peter doesn't give us any details. We just read in Peter 1 and 5, who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the salvation of the rapture of Christ, and saving us from the very presence of sin. And so we see here that we are kept by God himself. Then we're translated by the power of God. And by the word translated, I mean taken into heaven without dying. Now the climax of the Spirit's power works within us. We read this in Romans 8 and 11, that wonderful verse that Paul records there. Here it is. But if the Spirit of him, and it's the capital S, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now we are translated by the power of God. Quicken your mortal bodies. Give you life. We are quickened by the power of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth to rapture away his church, he'll only come to the air. He will shout. There will be the voice of the archangel. There will be the last trump. And when that trump sounds, we march to heaven. We are caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What is the power that accomplishes all of this? And the dead in Christ shall be raised. That's power. And he'll give us a brand new body to live for God in days to come. So you see, we start with power, we continue with power, and we're going to be caught up with power, the power of God. Our Father, today, we pray that you will turn our eyes away from ourselves and turn them to you, and to see the power that you have exercised on our behalf, and that power that may flow through us to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.